It's amazing listening back to Peter Arnett there on CNN talking about the very beginning of that first Gulf War 20 years ago. You know, compared to the prolonged and now, we're told, winding down conflict in Iraq that began with the invasion in 2003, that first Gulf War, called, you'll remember, Desert Storm, right, it was an eye blink. A matter of days.
Yeah.
And it was over.
That's true.
You know, it wasn't even the first Gulf War. The first Gulf War was the bloody, prolonged, almost decade-long conflict between Iran and Iraq that preceded
it.
Where, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Did they call it the Gulf War? I remember that as the Iran-Iraq War.
It was the Iran-Iraq War. It was the Gulf War. It was called, you know, there were ships in the Gulf that were reflagged. It definitely was a Gulf War. And, you know, we remember everything beginning with that invasion of Kuwait. Saddam Hussein, you'll recall, invaded Kuwait and began the standoff that then motivated Desert Storm, which was a short war 20 years ago. It was a story of misreads on both sides, particularly Saddam Hussein's misreading of both his allies and his enemies, narratives that would become significant much later on. And insights into that war and the character of the individuals who fought it are revealed in newly declassified archives, 2,300 hours of recorded meetings, millions of pages of documents, all captured by the United States forces after the 2003 invasion. Reporting on those archives and other revelations is Michael Gordon, military correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. He's also co-author of the book, The General's War, The Inside Story of the Conflict in the Gulf. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
And you're also going to be part of this reunion seminar, a sort of look back at the Gulf War 20 years on that's taking place at the George H.W. Bush Library, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Who's going to be there?
Well, it's really an extraordinary occasion. It's the first President Bush and his entire war cabinet, to include Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, James Baker, Dan Quayle, Brent Scowcroft, and a Gulf War general and a number of Kuwaitis. So I think it's really, it may be the first and almost certainly the last time the whole group will get together again since they left government.
Well, among the gems from this declassified archive is a conversation between Saddam Hussein and then Iraqi Prime Minister Saadun Hamadi, speaking as the war began on how Saddam Hussein believed that he'd been fooled by who he thought was his ally, the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev.
He tricked us. It is a trick.
In the meeting, Gorbachev said, "Please don't think we're here to fool you or trap you. Anyway, whatever the intention, it is practically the same."
There's bitterness there. There's genuine surprise there. How much of a misread of his Cold War relationship with the Soviet Union did Saddam Hussein, assume, which really caused, in many ways, his downfall in those early days?
Well, first off, I think it's very interesting that there was such an archive in the first place. I mean, Saddam Hussein appeared to have something in common with Richard Nixon in that he had his conversations taped and preserved. And so there's, I think, 2,300 hours of over many years that were gathered together and captured as a result of the second Iraq War. But I think by late February of 1991, it was clear to Saddam at that point that the United States and President Bush were determined to use force if necessary to evict Iraqi forces from Kuwait. And so his strategy then was to go to other members of the Security Council and to a nation that he thought might be his ally and try to get them to use their influence to work out a compromise that would enable him to preserve a lot of his combat power and withdraw from Kuwait on his terms. But what he misread was the nature of American-Soviet relations at that time and the fact that relations with Washington were far more important to Gorbachev than relations with Baghdad.
A real sign that the Cold War had almost ended, if not actually had ended. If Saddam Hussein believed that the coalition was serious in his negotiations with Security Council members, explain this gem from the archive, which we actually obtained from the New York Times website. Here's Saddam Hussein apparently not believing that a ground war was possible and that assuming that the air war was it. Listen.
If this is the initial shock and what the Sultan told me is correct, then the attack has failed.
Air power only, he thought. What does that mean?
Well, you have to remember that after more than a month of bombing, the Iraqis had no air force. They had no overhead reconnaissance. They had very poor situational awareness of what was happening on the battlefield. And so what's really interesting is that in the first moments of the ground war, it was unclear to Saddam and his inner circle whether the initial probes or actions were major attacks that they had succeeded in beating back, or something altogether different. They completely misread American strategy, and they didn't have a clue what was going on the battlefield in a real sense.
So what are we to learn from hearing these tapes, Michael Gordon? Are we learning something simply about Saddam Hussein's ego and his misreading of diplomatic signs, both from Russia and from the U.S.? Or is there something deeper to learn about diplomatic relations between superpowers?
Well, I think it's a very important piece of history, because if you take what I did for the New York Times was I took these three transcripts, which have been declassified, and they're being housed at a research center at National Defense University in Washington. They're the ones that made them public today. And if you take those and you combine them with transcripts in the presidential library in College Station of President Bush and Gorbachev, and there such transcripts are available, and they're also on the Times website, you can reconstruct the last day or two before the ground war through the eyes and words of President Bush, Gorbachev, and Saddam Hussein.
Isn't there a misread on the coalition side, though, as well? Saddam Hussein is revealed to be a much less significant person than we were led to believe in the lead-up to the 2003 war. What do you make of that?
Well, no, I think he's the supreme leader of Iraq. He's making the key decisions. He's surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, and he clearly has a very tenuous understanding of world politics and how his actions are perceived by nations around the world.
But a threat to the world? A threat to the free world?
It contributed to his defeat in that war, and really ultimately set the stage for the second war. So his misperceptions were really enormous. There were miscalculations on the American side, too, but this chronicles the misperceptions on the Iraqi side.
Well, it'll be all part of this seminar that you're attending at the George H.W. Bush Library, a look back at Desert Storm and the implications of that first Gulf War. Michael Gordon, military correspondent for The New York Times, co-author of The General's War, The Inside Story of the Conflict in the Gulf. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.